Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
It's been a strange phenomenon that draft pick has in some ways resonated more than the fait accompli that was the more important player. It's kind of cool.
I think that's, you answered your own question. Oh, I get it. You posed one.
I get it. No. Yeah.
I also think that the number nine pick acted as a de facto number one pick for a lot of Bears fans because they knew that Caleb was going to be here.
And we baked that in already.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, I've known for the last year that Caleb's going to be a Bear. What else are they going to do? And you end up drafting Rome Odunze, and that feels pretty good because people saw a lot of him. Like, it's one of those things where, similar to Caleb, even if it doesn't work out, and I don't know if it's going to work out, it's an easy sell. People saw a lot of Rome Odunze. Because Washington was very good.
Well, he's also, every time he's been in front of a microphone, he's been awesome.
He's very impressive.
Every time you hear from him, it's like, oh, that's a grown-up, young professional man. Yes. That's
an adult who understands things. And my hope is that what he did in college translates to the type of learning, the learning curve he had in college translates to the learning curve that he's going to have with the Bears. And I can't think of two guys better for him to learn from than the two guys that he's going to be working with. That's exciting. It also allows you to dream bigger than just, you know, this season with the Bears. With Keenan Allen, I've been saying it since Keenan Allen got here. He didn't come here for a haircut. If you think that he's then going to sign a team-friendly deal, he was a Charger his whole life, and he didn't restructure his deal so that the Chargers could keep him. That man wants to get his money, and he's earned the right to go out there and get his money. So you do two things. I think you make the 2024 roster better because Rome Odunze is here, and it allows you to think beyond 2024 and have him grow with a quarterback that he already likes and has worked with.
We have some opinions that have been coming in about the Bears draft in general. Did you read the Mike Sando piece in The Athletic?
I did not.
It was interesting, too, some anonymous thoughts on how everybody did. And a lot of it is what you're saying, this idea where they're expressing, like, wow, like, had it only been Rome Odunze at nine, it's already a good draft. Like, oh, yeah, they also got Caleb Williams, too, is the way exactly as you describe. So yesterday on Parkins and Spiegel, a longtime NFL wideout, TJ Houshmandzadeh, was on with it. He's done some work with Rome Odunze. He works with some wide receivers now. So this was the scouting report that he gave on the Bears rookie receiver.
Big, fast, ball skills are really crazy. That's the thing that stood out to me was make a hard catch look really easy. And that right there is difficult to do. And he makes that look easy, but he's a big dude, man, and he can run 10, 500 meters in high school. Anybody that know anything about track, when you can run that in high school, you can roll. can really drop his weight to be 6'3". And so there's really nothing he can't do. A comp. I know people have asked me about that. I don't have a comp because it's very rarely that you see a guy with his size that can run like that, that can drop their weight and run routes, ball skills. Chris Henry had ball skills, crazy ball skills. Rome is very similar to that. But Rome, the way he can drop his weight, the way he can run routes, he has good quickness at the line of scrimmage.
Can I throw two at you?
Yeah.
Devontae Adams?
He's bigger.
Bigger. So Garrett Wilson?
He's bigger.
Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Rome is a big dude, and I don't think people realize that until you get up on him. Like, legit 6'3".
Well, then if we're piecing the Frankenstein's monster together, put a little DK Metcalf in there.
Smaller.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we're going bigger, like warmer, colder, bigger, smaller. But okay, but let's see where, you know, define some of these things, because he sounds legit excited about it.
Well, as he should be, and I love that that's who he was working with. TJ Houshmandzadeh, like one of the more underrated receivers, and you're playing across.
And he's got a sound alike too that's just killing me, and I can't figure out who TJ Houshmandzadeh sounds like.
A couple of 1,000-yard seasons for him, some also like 970-yard seasons for him, 44 touchdowns in his career. Like, I love that these guys, one of the things that I can say about Caleb and Rome, it's clear that they have done all the research and work of what are the steps that I need to get to where I want to go. Now it's a matter of what do I need to do to succeed and excel at this opportunity? And it seems like both guys are getting really great advice on how to go about this. That seems like a big deal.
The NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah is also a huge Rome Odunze fan. And I know people who listen to the Take the North podcast may have heard a version of this as well, as this has been discussed. But here is one of the foremost draft experts explaining why he just loves this kid.
When did I fall for Rome? When I first popped on the tape.
Yeah.
I was just going through all the wideouts, and he was next up. And I was like, I haven't heard this guy talked about like this before, but like I gave him the same grade I gave Marvin Harrison Jr. And I tweeted that out, which did not elicit a lot of praise from the public. But he's as clean as it gets. He can play any position at receiver, inside, outside. He's good on third down. He's good in the red zone. He's got a big frame. He's the best contested catch guy in the draft. I think he can sink his weight and run routes for a big guy. And then you're talking to school, and they're like, the guy's a genius. The guy's early, you know, they're early, stays late. He's a football junkie. So I'm like, wow, he's easy. Like, I was talking to a GM 2 days ago, and we were going through the guys, and his name came up. He used the phrase, this is a sleep well pick. You take him, you're going to sleep like a baby.
You're so close to saying football machine.
We'll get one. We'll get it.
Damn it. So close. Football machine. He's a football machine. People are suggesting Larry Fitzgerald.
For the sound alike?
For a sound alike on TJ.
Okay.
TJ's register is a little deeper than Larry's.
There's something with the accent. It may not be an athlete. It might be an actor. But there's somebody that just I can't quite place it. I apologize, but it's there somewhere.
All right,
you know how it is. Like sometimes it pops right in your head, and some people get it, but it may not be an athlete.
Okay, well if it happens, then tweet it out.
I it'll be like just as I'm falling asleep tonight.
You'll be fishing, and it'll happen.
Not today. No fishing today.
Because why not? That's right. You got stuff.
I have a meeting, and then
you're going to the theater.
We're going to Eddie Izzard to watch her solo Hamlet performance, Chicago Shakespeare Theater tonight.
And then you're going to see Seinfeld's movie.
No. Wait, hold on. I need to have a meeting with Pritzker's aides to determine whether or not I'm seeing the Seinfeld movie. And I go into the office and they say, no.
Well, I don't think you need to go. I think it's a Netflix movie. Oh, watch it at home.
Oh, speaking of Netflix.
I can avoid it at home. Perfect.
Isn't there a roast of Tom Brady that's happening this weekend too?
I believe so. And there's
I believe that's happening live.
And a Cat Williams coming up too.
Which is interesting. And I wonder how much money Tom got for that. Because it's got to be 15, 20 million, I'm guessing, for some of the people that are going to be here. What?
There's all sorts of saying Tracy McGrady's the sound-alike. Randy Moss, yeah, a little less twangy.
He doesn't have an accent like Randy Moss.
He does have an accent, but it's not as country as Randy Moss.
I think TJ's from California.
He is. But that is a twangy kind of accent he's got. It's not Terrence Howard. No, it's not Akeem Hicks.
It might be Tyrese.
Tyrese Gibson?
Yeah, it might be Tyrese. I heard a little bit of that. That's not bad.
Okay, no, that's pretty good. I would need to hear the side-by-sides on some of the stuff. And by the way, while I got the chance here, this is my problem with Jerry Seinfeld. Who I generally always thought was fine, harmless, and good enough at what was the line? The sit-up, I think, is what Roger Ebert called it. It was sitcom and stand-up, and he sort of created what then Ray Romano did with this idea of sit-up. But he's become a blame-the-audience guy, and he never was. And it's been disappointing that Jerry Seinfeld, now it's the woke left means he's not funny anymore. Where Seinfeld has always, and correctly, said wherever the bar is, that's the challenge. Be funny. The rules are constantly changing, constantly. And whether people are bitching about cell phones or the politically correct judges of everything, just be funny. Figure it out. Figure it out. Make me laugh. Make the discomfort part of it. Make us laugh. Don't blame the audience. And he literally said, "Well, it's wokeness and the far left and the PC culture and cancel culture. Now it's not my fault I'm not funny. It's not my fault my movie sucks. It's the audience's fault."
I think that it's been interesting because he's been omnipresent, and I've been like, "Man, Jerry is really like out here," and it does feel like there's an edict of, "Hey, man, you got to sell this." Like,
yeah, we got a dog in our hands. You better mitigate this.
You got to get out here and sell it. And what's been really interesting is that he's been talking, when people have been asking him about being a filmmaker, he's like, no. I am a stand-up comedian. That I'm not interested in any of this other stuff. And that also feels like, oh, so you know that this is bad and you're already starting to distance yourself away from it by being like, that's not what I do. I am a stand-up comedian. It's also possible, what's Jerry, 65, 66?
70, I think.
It's also possible that things have passed you by, sir. That maybe you're not as with it as a cultural critic.
Yeah, he's 70.
You haven't stayed as relevant. I know that he's still relevant to comedians. And there are a bunch of comedians that are in this movie partially because of how much they love Jerry. And when it's his comedians having coffee with cars thing, it plays better because...
I loved that.
Yeah, it's him talking about stand-up. It's him talking about what he knows. Maybe you're just... Your time as cultural... As one of the lead cultural critics is over with. And there are also people that are... making sure that whenever he puts stuff out, that they don't forget about Shoshana. Like, they don't forget about the fact that he was 35 years old dating a 17-year-old. That's been put out there, too. So there are other people that maybe if they wanted to jump on and become fans of Seinfeld, they find that to be problematic, that he was picking up a girl from high school when he was 35 years old.
So there's that.
There's also that.
Craig Counsell has met the media for his pregame session, and we know that regardless of where his bullpen is, and we know that that's going to pretty much be the limiting factor for how good he feels heading out to the ballpark today, but it's also got to be weird for him. We played his comments earlier about how he underestimated the amount of rancor that would come his way. Not the rancor, by the way, because that thing's big and nasty, and you have to make sure its jaws are obstructed so you can get out of there and then flee. But he actually, I'm trying to remember what happened after that. Didn't he also ended up coming to the Sarlacc pit immediately thereafter after they defeated the rancor, correct?
I believe that is correct.
Right. Rancor.
Yeah, say it right.
I was so confused what you're talking. It's rancor.
R-A-N-C-O-R, rancor.
I'm also just confused in general because I don't know what the hell
you're
talking about.
You don't have rancor to someone else or towards something.
It's fine. He says Nick Friedel's name weird too.
Rancor. Rancor? Rancor.
Nick Friedel will be in studio Monday. Get his name right, Bernstein. He'll be in studio Monday with us.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun to do. So, yeah, I do think that this is an emotional time for the Cubs manager. Let's find out what he has to say about facing his former team for the first time when we come back on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We have luck in our game.
Damn right you do, for better or for worse. That was one of the thematic statements that we've heard from Craig Counsell. One was spring training, the results don't matter. These results do matter, and I love the fact that he said it. We have luck in our game. Baseball's got a lot of luck. So what does a manager do? A manager makes sure to control what they can control to make luck matter the tiniest bit less. Every little chance you get, every decision, just try to make your whatever the whims and vagaries of the game affect you less. And I know that's not a sexy way of describing the job, but that's the job.
It's not sexy, but it is what it is. And when the results, like, you can go back and kind of look at it and say, this is where the decision, like, baseball fans are used to doing this from the youngest fan ever of questioning the decision making of the manager. What went into it? How do they balance gut versus numbers? All of those things. And it seems as if the Cubs really value that too. And that is something that's worth discussing and talking about as it pertains to their current manager, that they wanted to make changes so that you could take Captain Variance and at least challenge him.
There is no challenge. Captain Variance wins in the end, always.
You could at least challenge him.
Make his life difficult?
Yes. Make Captain Variance's life difficult.
Somewhere, saving other universes and other worlds. He shows up, much like, you know, Captain Marvel, to save the day when you kind of forgot they were out there, too busy, and then all of a sudden...
The universe is a very big place.
Oh, yeah, Captain.
She said it very succinctly. There are a lot of planets out there, and they don't have you.
She said, "I'm busy."
I'm busy, bitch. I'm a superhero for the whole galaxy.
Right.
Clowns,
leave me alone.
Why don't you guys fix your own problems?
When's she gonna stop and get a sandwich or something?
Well, they did at the end.
That's right. It was a falafel.
Shawarma.
They got shawarma. Shawarma.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was like, I think that is one of their best post-credit scenes ever, because they have referenced it. And they're like, you know what we should do? Like, inside of all of this destruction in New York, the shawarma place was still open.
Yeah,
they're like, this is good.
Nothing like a good shawarma. The place near me, Pie High, oh, it's so good.
Yeah?
Oh, their shawarma? Outstanding. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Really. Big fans of the show, too.
Oh, shout out to them.
Yeah. They're on Western at the southeast corner of Addison and Western.
Oh, that's easy.
The storefront. They also do wood-fired pizzas, but their Middle Eastern stuff, on point.
Cedars in Hyde
Park.
Yeah,
Cedars good. I've been.
Yeah.
I've been there.
That's like around the corner.
Although the best falafel sandwich is at Foster and in between Ashland and Clark. On the north side of the street, there's like a Lebanese grocery or an Arabic grocery, and in the back, they make falafel. Oh, dude.
What's the name of the place?
I forgot. It used to be called like Arab American Grocery or something like that. There's some name where you don't even, it doesn't say like falafel stand. And there is a Lebanese falafel place across the street that's also fine. But in the back of this grocery store is where
the magic happens.
The best I've ever had. Huh. And it's like the taquerias in the Mexican grocery store. Same kind of idea. Where you don't realize in the back they're making a whole lechon or the carnitas, everything, like every day. Oh, my God, it's so good. So here's Craig Council, who just finished up. I know, I'm going to be too hungry. Craig Council just finished up talking with the media, and he was asked directly, does today in the beginning of this series against Milwaukee have any different meaning for him?
I mean, like, look, we're just trying to win a baseball game. This is a good team. I think you spend most of your time trying to figure out how to beat the team. There are people there that I have really good relationships with, and look, you miss people for sure. I mean, I miss people over there, absolutely. Yeah, because you have strong relationships with people. So, you know, when you see people that you've spent a lot of time with and you miss them, like, yeah, absolutely. That's what kind of brings the emotion to it.
The relationships change a little bit though during the season, right? Or at least the communication, you know, because you guys are you're entrenched in what you're doing, they're doing what they're doing. So, like, I'm assuming you don't probably talk to Murph that much. Or...
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's funny. Like, yeah, Pat and I don't talk that much anymore. I mean, and we think about it. It's because, like, as a manager, the main thing you're thinking about is how do I make my group, like, the thing that consumes you all the time is your team and helping your team and making your team better. And Pat and I just aren't going to have that conversation right now, you know? So we'll have conversation about our kids or something like that. But the thing that's consuming us, like, during the season is how do we make our team better? And you're not going to have that conversation with, you know, Pat and I aren't going to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Those are the questions. Those are the things we want to talk about with each other that we're just not going to talk about.
Sure. We're talking to Steele, and he said he kind of feels the same positive nerves that he felt at opening day. Like,
yeah.
He's coming back. What's it like from your end knowing you're getting Steele?
Yeah. So, I mean, Justin's on schedule right now to pitch on Monday, and that's looking good. He's going to throw a bullpen today. Just kind of like final checkpoint there. But I think we're optimistic that he'll be the starter on Monday. So, it, you know, we're we've missed him for a month, and it'll be good to get him back. It'll be good to back going.
You may have been asked this before, but now that Steele's almost back, have you considered a Ben Brown really late in games, or do you want the multi-inning thing, or even eighth and ninth?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're, like, I think Ben's doing a really nice job. We're going to have, if we can get to the point of we're you know, very healthy, we're going to have some tougher decisions to make. Right now, we're still trying to put together the innings puzzle kind of on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, trying to say Ben's this or Ben's that, like, I don't think makes any – don't think is logical for us to do right now. What we know is that Ben's getting hitters out, and that there's a spot for Ben, and that we need Ben to, you know, pitch big league innings. And he has earned that because he's getting hitters out, so that's going to continue.
That's interesting. It's been one of the things that we've talked about. I know Spiegs has been high on the idea of having bulk relievers. I'm with counsel on, I love that, the idea of the innings puzzle. Like, we got to figure that out.
I love the way he phrases that, the innings puzzle. He makes it sound like a little...
It's fun.
A little whimsical thing at the back of the newspaper. Oh, gee, let's see what they have for the innings puzzle today.
Where do I plug in Daniel Palencia?
Stop.
I mean, that's part of the inning. That's part of the innings puzzle. That is part of his innings puzzle right now.
Palencia is definitely one of those, like, annoying pieces. Like, oh, where is this going to fit? I can't figure it out right now.
Yes. It's the little in Tetris. He's the...
Which piece? The T?
No.
The T's the best thing.
Because you can flip it. He's the one that's like two. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. The half a swastika one.
Yes. One. For lack of a better term. Yes.
Right. That, usually when the T shows up, you're like, all right, I can find a place.
I know
place
where
for
to
this.
Put I'll make this. It fit someplace.
Right. But then the other one you're spinning in your head is like, oh, do I build up a little tower of three of these and then hope I get some of the long ones? And then as you're falling asleep, you get the Tetris visions.
And the music. Do, 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 do.
And then the guy comes out and dances.
Do, do, do.
Yep.
Do, do, do.
I did not see that movie. I did not see the Tetris.
Is it good or no?
I think it was fine.
I think I'm going to watch this Seinfeld movie as camp.
You are. You're trying.
Not as Rick camp.
Oh. I was going to say, you're going to have to bring in a bigger snack budget if you're going to watch it.
It would make sense for him to watch it. I'm Fat Podcast, him and Jay, but now we've heard that review. Man, I might be with you, Lawrence.
It might be so bad, it's good.
Right.
Or you can enjoy the badness of it. Would you like to know today's Cubs lineup?
I would. I do want to say people have sent in the falafel sandwich. It's called Middle East Bakery and Grocery, 1512 West Foster.
Delicious.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Okay.
Yes.
Nico Horner is going to lead off, and he's going to play second base. Tauchman will bat second and play right. Ian Happ will bat third and play left. Christopher Morel will bat fifth and play, I'm sorry, bat fourth and play third. Michael Busch will play first base and bat fifth. Dansby Swanson is back in the lineup. He is batting sixth and playing shortstop. Mr. Mervis is your DH today. Amaya is catching. And Pedro Cuervo is your center fielder.
Pedro Cuervo, Brazo Fuerte.
Brazo Fuerte. And Hayden Westnasty is going to be the starting pitcher. He's going up against Ross in the lineup of the Brewers. Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Ross. I feel like Joe Ross has been pitching for forever. He's only 30, but I feel like I gotta see how many teams Joe Ross has been on.
And is he one of those guys who was disproportionately annoying and or good against the Sox?
No, I mean, I think I know what it is. He's been injured so much that he's been around, but it's always like, oh yeah, Joe Ross is coming back at some point. That's what it was. He's with the Nationals. Like, yeah, he's coming back at some point. And then he never comes back. And then he comes back the next season.
I like this comment from the 630. Counsel really tells you stuff when asked good questions.
Yes, he does.
Yes, because he's an actual intellect.
And he's not afraid. Like, he's not afraid of like tactics and all this stuff. He gets it. Like, why not share with the people what you're thinking?
Unlike Pedro, for example, who thinks, well, what would a manager say? I have to pretend to speak like a carbon copy beep, boop, cartoon boop, beep, manager. Beep, beep,
beep. Gotta dial it up.
Right.
Beep, 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 beep.
And that just betrays a lack of confidence in who you are and what you think.
Let's see what happens in St. Louis this weekend.
What? Maybe good things will happen.
Maybe the worst thing
happens. No, Tommy Pham is going to be feeling his, like, I used to play here. This is
where I used to get stabbed.
Well, he's been stabbed everywhere, hasn't he?
No.
He's always getting stabbed.
He hasn't been stabbed since 2021.
Are you sure? You don't know that.
It hasn't been reported that he's been stabbed since 2021.
Once is too many, and probably any time more than once.
He's a tough dude, man.
I just broke your pen.
It's your pen now.
It just fell off.
It's totally fine. It's a score pen.
It's a vintage score pen.
Well, it doesn't even have the name of the station on it anymore.
But I know it's a vintage score pen. I'll take good care of it.
No,
thank
you won't, apparently.
Apparently not. I broke it already. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Joe Ostrowski, Josh Nelson, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Brandon Fryer, and everybody for joining us today. We will be back on Monday to digest everything that happened over the weekend. Have yourself a fabulous weekend, a fabulous afternoon. Enjoy the Derby. And don't forget, as the lilacs bloom, stop, smell the lilacs, because they're only here for a brief period of time, and they make spring in Chicago wonderful. Cubs baseball's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.